Good afternoon. I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for the 33rd edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During the show, we visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers. Today, my guest is Kirsten Kirschner, who is originally from just outside of Leipzig, East Germany, and now lives in Scarborough, Maine. She, her husband, and children left East Germany in 1990 and came to the U.S. for work in 1996. They came from just outside of Leipzig in the state of Saxony, about 90 miles south of Berlin. Welcome to New Mainers Speak, Kirsten.
Thank you very much for having me.
It's a pleasure. My guess is that when you tell people you grew up in East Germany, they may have preconceived ideas about what life might have been like there. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. Americans only know Germans for three things. Oktoberfest, which means Lederhosen and beer. Second, Hitler and the Berlin Wall. But Germany has a lot more than those three things. For example, Germany has a long, gorgeous and wild, diverse history. So you find stereotypes worldwide. American stereotypes eat always hamburger, hot dogs, drink Coke. So, or they are very patriotic. So I don't know. My American friends do not fit in the American stereotype. And I would rather have someone get to know me than relying on things said about Germans by others. Ask yourself if you would like to be characterized by the stereotype of your nation or group.
Yeah, we're all about Walt Disney World, right? So how was it really then? What were some of your impressions and enduring memories from your childhood that could help paint a more authentic picture for people?
I had a great life as a child because East Germany had an excellent child care and almost every workplace had a daycare facility for infants and young children. And the life for school-age children was very strict and schools were run like military, but we only had one kind of milk, one kind of butter, one butcher, one baker. So in East Germany, everyone was required to work and there was no unemployment. But people didn't get paid much.
So everybody got some. Everybody got what they
but
needed.
Everyone got some. For example, my salary was about 700 East German marks, whereas my husband's average salary was 1,000 East German marks, and a TV cost 2,000 marks.
The salary for the month, the year?
It was the salary for the month, yes. Mm-hmm. So another issue was, for example, parents would order a car when their child was born because anyone who wanted to buy a car was put on a waiting list. And this waiting list was 18 to 20 years long.
Oh, my gosh. This is a little bit like if you live in Boston, getting your child on the preschool list when you're pregnant.
Yeah.
But a longer wait.
A longer wait. Absolutely.
And then you would wait for a Volkswagen?
No, for a Trabant. So
I see.
A very little car. So
more you like one of those little Fiats?
Yes, like a Fiat or a smart car. Only four people could sit in there. It had two doors.
Yeah, staying petite would be important for four people being in a Fiat.
Absolutely.
Do you go back to the state of Saxony, Germany, very often?
I go back, if I can, every 2 years. I have... My daughter is living in Belgium with her family. When I go back, I really spend time in both countries, Germany and Belgium. A lot has changed since 1990. East Germany was one of the richest communist countries to live in, but now everything became more expensive and people have more choices. The economy broke down in 1990 and... a lot of effort have been done to help East Germany to catch up with the wealthier West German states. But we still have a lower income level and a higher unemployment rate than West Germans. So, for example, the unemployment rate is twice so high.
Is there resentment of East Germans resent West Germans for being more employed and having higher salaries?
It's not this. It's just because we do not have so much industry like we had in the past. And we all know the farmers here in Maine struggle. So the farmers in East Germany struggle too.
Mm-hmm. Because of less markets?
It's less market, or they have now more choices. East Germany had no imports from other countries. So we had vegetables, seasonal vegetables. We had some imports from Cuba, like bananas and oranges, once or twice, maybe three times a year.
And you said earlier you would stand in line to wait your turn to get your share.
Yeah.
But everybody got some.
We got some, yes. Well, 1 pound or 2 pounds per family.
They must have been very special when you brought those home.
It was very special. So it was like a holiday.
So say you brought home oranges and you were the one that waited in line and got this food and brought it back for your family, being the oldest daughter. What was it like when you all got together? Did you have a special way you celebrated that?
No, it was not a special way to celebrate it. But everyone got one orange or one banana in the family. So you know, Sal, when you go shopping and you buy 2 pounds of banana, you may have 4 or 5 bananas and just one for each.
Do you have a food that now you feel super lucky every time you get to have it?
No, actually, no, not.
You had said before that one thing that you didn't make in East Germany, so you didn't have access to as a kid, was bubble gum.
Oh, yeah.
You had to struggle through childhood knowing you were missing bubble gum.
Yes, I really miss bubble gum. And you will see me chewing bubble gum in the car, but maybe 5 minutes, and then I throw the bubble gum away.
Making up for lost ground.
Yes.
Love it. So, Leipzig is now considered the most livable city in Germany.
Yes, and I'm very proud that I grew up in this region.
And you took advantage of all the culture that Leipzig had to offer too, didn't you?
Yes.
What kinds of things would you do in the city?
Usually teenagers go to discos, but I went to concerts. I was listening more to classical music because Leipzig is very well known for it. We have the Thomanerchor close. It's Bach. I love organ music. So when I go back, I visit these.
Was Bach born and raised in Leipzig, or was he just trained there?
He was not trained there, but he was the organist from the Thomas Church.
So a rich cultural tradition.
A very rich cultural tradition.
Music.
Not only music, but also literacy. Goethe and Schiller had their home close.
They're biggies. Biggies.
I know they're biggies.
You guys are turning out all the rock stars of the day.
Yes.
And it is a crossroads, right? A mercantile shipping crossroads, too. Historically,
yes.
Leipzig has been. You've lived in the United States since 1996 and have raised your sons here. And as a parent now, I'm wondering how you've managed to balance your German culture with your American culture that absolutely surrounds you.
Our children, they lived in the beginning in two worlds. It was definitely not easy for them because we did not know if we have to go back to Europe. We were only here temporary. Now we are living over 16 years in the United States. I would say it was challenging and stressful. Now we still hold on to our German traditions, and our children are very proud of these traditions. So, for example, we celebrate St. Nicholas Day on December 6th. Our children put their boots outside the front door on the night of December 5th, and St. Nicholas fills the boots with gifts and sweets overnight, but also checks on the children if they were good and polite last year. If not, they will have three a tree branch in their boots instead.
They'll have a tree branch instead?
Yes.
That's better than coal, I guess. Either way, you can still heat the fires.
Yes.
Did your kids ever have a year when they weren't polite?
No, they are always being polite.
And that looks really different in German tradition and American traditions, I imagine. Do you have different standards of dress and speaking and addressing elders than you find that people here have?
No, not really. But I would say the Europeans and Germans are very known for a very formal communication. So here, when you go to the store and someone says, "Hello, hi, sweetie," or so, I was sometimes I'm like, "Whoa, don't say this to me."
Step up. You mean ma'am?
Or ma'am? Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's different, isn't it? Since you've been a United States citizen for nearly a whole month now, you are eligible to vote in the next election in just a few weeks. I wonder what your thoughts are around that.
It was a very interesting topic in our household because we, in the beginning, we did not realize that we actually can vote November 4th.
When you first became citizens?
When we became citizen. It will give us a feeling of accomplishment and participation. And I feel like I have a voice. And I think this is very important for me because my passion is healthcare access and basic education, which both are very basic human rights. And not every Mainer has access to comprehensive healthcare.
These are very politically charged issues.
Yes.
But now you can have a little voice in. Have you voted before elsewhere?
We voted in East Germany, yes.
Before it became just integrated with Germany again?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So as a young woman, you voted. And then you were a citizen, living in other countries. Did you ever get to, while you were a citizen of Germany and living in the United States with a green card, did you ever vote back home? Could you do an absentee ballot?
We can do an absentee ballot, but there's a lot of paperwork. So I choose not to vote.
So this will be the first time you've gone to vote for a long time.
Yes.
I'm excited for you. I'll think of you on election day.
Thank you.
And all the other new U.S. citizens that will be voting for the first time. It's quite momentous. Do you know where to start? Do you know where to go for your polling place?
Yes.
Okay. That's great. Anybody who doesn't know can find out from their town halls, and you can actually still register in Maine on Election Day itself, which is a lovely service. Today I'm visiting with Kirsten Kirschner, originally from Leipzig, that area of Germany. It was originally East Germany when she was growing up and is now reintegrated into Germany. Kirsten, you have frequently been a student in your life, haven't you? First, you were a college student studying politics in East Germany, then a student here at USM getting a BA in exercise physiology, a student of massage therapy, and now once again, you're a student going for a master's degree in public health. And I wondered, what does education mean to you and your extended family?
Education was had a very high priority in East Germany and also for my parents. So, for example, East Germany had a 5-point grading scale, and 1 was the best possible grade, and 5 was a failing grade. A 3 indicated an average performance, so I could not play with my friends outside when I came home from school and had 3 in a math exam. I remember this until today. I had to study and get a better grade in the next exam. On the other hand, literacy played a very important role in my life. So my dad loved to read. And as we talked about earlier, we have very well-known writers, Goethe and Schiller, in our area. So I would say literacy and education are two very essential components in my life.
And always have been. You've brought them here with you. And now you're studying public health. And what caused you to want to pursue public health?
I had a non-working visa when I arrived in the US and like a degree in political science. So I really couldn't do anything with it. I had to consider a career change and choose to pursue the career of my childhood dream, which I could not pursue when I was younger because my dad said it's not a career or an occupation, healthcare.
So you had wanted always to do this kind of thing, but had been steered away from it?
Yes.
Oh, so here you are, completing the dream.
Yeah.
Oh, how wonderful. What do you hope to do with a degree in public health?
I have a passion, and I think I can make a difference and help others with the goal of increasing healthcare access for the minority population, as well for the poor population in Maine. So I do my internship at Care Partners at Maine Health. So Care Partners is a network of voluntary physicians and hospitals that provide healthcare to low-income uninsured residents, independent from the immigration status in four counties. The program was developed in 2001 as a temporary program until the state and federal government extends healthcare for reform. So we have now 2014, this program still exists. So I would say it's not a temporary program anymore. It will exist for a very long, long time. And on the other hand, on international level, I'm a Rotarian. Rotary is a global organization of business and professional community leaders that are devoted to make our local communities and worldwide a better place. So my club, the Rotary Club of Saco Bay, collaborated with a Nigerian Rotary Club, and we both work on a global grant to provide basic education and literacy for over 300 children in Saco.
Was this work through your Rotary in Nigeria part of the spark for you for more global health issues? Or were you already involved in global health and this was a way to apply that?
I think Rotary was the spark. When I finished in 2010 my bachelor degree at USM, I went for polio immunization to Nigeria with Anli Hafi. And I think that was really the spark because I left some of my heart in Africa.
Mm-hmm. What did you see there that made you fall in love with Nigeria?
It is the poverty. So it's totally different. And I think nobody can describe it. There are no toilets in rural villages. Like Saoka, they don't have a school. Our parents can't afford a notebook. A notebook that costs 40 nairas and the conversion is right now 165 nairas is $1.
So something that costs 20 cents.
Yeah.
Parents
for
can't
example.
Afford a notebook so their child can study.
Yeah.
So when we don't hear from those voices, the whole world loses, right?
Yeah.
So you go there and see all this potential unused. Yeah. Wow. So how will you know that you've been successful? What will you be doing and who will you be working with when you're going full tilt working in public health? What's your dream?
That's a very good question. I really hope to be a part of so many public health professionals we have in Maine, and there's a wide variety. So we have Maine CDC, Center for Disease Control. We have many people who work for the minority health to increase the healthcare access for the immigrants, but even Maine Health, if it could be literacy, or it could be really access of healthcare.
So working in a collaboration with existing organizations,
yeah,
to bring more health to everyone.
To everyone.
Not just the wealthy who can afford healthcare.
That's true.
Or the people at the other end, too, who are getting support. There are a lot in the middle, aren't there?
Yeah.
Left out. And I heard you say earlier that healthcare is a human right.
Yes.
Can you say more about that?
I say everyone should have access to healthcare. Even when a child is still in a mom's womb, and mom can go to preventive health care, prenatal care, the child has much better survival chances than any other child. We have immunizations to prevent diseases. For example, most Americans do not think about polio immunizations. They have not seen a polio survivor in Africa. They can't walk. They have flip-flops on their hands to move forward and roller skates.
We forget to appreciate the difference that vaccines made in our lives.
Yes.
When we don't see what happens when we don't have it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
How are you different now than you were before coming to the United States? I'm kind of curious what you've learned about yourself through this process of immigration that's taken, 16 years or more, really, since you left Germany.
I'm not sure if I still have totally completed this phase, but it's one thing to visit a country, but it's totally different than living in a new culture. It can be mysterious and sometimes frustrating. So I also believe there are different phases of culture shock for everyone who goes through the immigration process. You prepare for a new country. There's an excitement after your arrival. Then you have the acclimation, gradual adjustment, and you finally adapt. So I'm not sure if I totally adapted to an American lifestyle, but there's definitely involves a certain responsibility, such as to adapt the behavior to customs and expectations of the American culture, and not to deny my own culture. So what I learned about myself is to remain open in order to become aware of similarities and differences. So I learn from others, cultures, rather than judge, which is one of the most rewarding experiences in my life, I think.
There's poetry in that, isn't there? Stay open, don't judge, and just see what happens here.
Yeah.
Probably we would all be better off to try that even in our own cultures, because there are different cultures within. Like just what you said at the beginning, we don't all fit into American stereotypes either.
No.
We stay open to the microcultures in our cultures.
Yes.
Oh, beautiful point. Kristen, you're very kind to come on the show today and share your life experiences and your thoughts about global health. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me again.
Pleasure. And thank you for listening. Please join us each Sunday from noon to 12:30 for similar interviews with diverse members of our community. I'm Kate Manahan in the studio with my guest, Kristen Kirschner. You've been listening to New Mainers Speak. We will close today's program with some music that Kirsten has chosen for us. Can you tell us a little bit about that, Kirsten?
This song tells you a little bit how it was in East Germany and about the dreams of East Germans.
And it's in German, so can you tell us a little bit about what it conveys, what it's saying?
No.
Okay.
So because it is a wide variety. And I think, for example, when an immigrant comes over here to the enters the United States, they have may even the similar dreams. So it doesn't matter in which language the song is.
It's universal.
It's universal.
Thank you.
Zeit. Du wohntest nah und doch so weit.
Du warst damals in der DDR und ich dachte, ey, wie schön das wäre, wenn die Mauer fällt. Ja, das wollten wir sehen und uns endlich gegenüberstehen. Wir waren doch Freunde, irgendwie verwandt, haben uns nur noch nicht gekannt. Wir hatten unseren Panik-Sound, der uns so tief verband. Wir waren Kumpels und Desperados, im selben, doch im anderen Land. Wir hatten unsere Träume, unsere Helden, das war doch klar. Allende und Mandela, Martin Luther King und Che Guevara.